We're so thankful that we can assemble to worship God, one that's worthy of our worship. I'd like to add my welcome to all, especially those visitors, especially the Watts family. I've attended a gospel meeting years ago with James's dad, David Jr., and of course we're all familiar with David Sr. I have fond memories of him as well, having a meeting here years ago, working in the Denver area. So really appreciate their efforts. It's good to have an update about Faith, that she may be going home from the hospital, and we praise God for that kind of progress and recovery. This morning, I'd like to begin with a question. And the question is, are we 100% dependent upon God? Now, some may say, well, I really haven't thought of that. Some might say, oh, absolutely, 100%, Rob. That's okay. Some might say, you know, if I really make an honest assessment, I'm really only maybe 50% dependent on God. Now, I don't know how you would quantify things like that, and that's not my whole point. But as we examine ourselves, are we really 100% dependent on God? And what does that look like if you were to try to quantify that? If you were trying to figure out, am I really 100% dependent on God? And is that really even necessary to be 100%? Would it be okay if I was 90%? If I was to somehow figure out, I'm pretty dependent on God. You know, when you look at the scriptures, there's really only one right answer. And that right answer is that we have to be 100% dependent upon God in our lives. Absolutely. There's no percentage that we can allow. Now, as we grow, as we learn God's word, that may increase in the sense that even a newborn babe can say, I want to be 100% dependent upon God. But maybe there's some things that are hindering me. Maybe there's some roadblocks in my way. Maybe there's things I need to grow spiritually, so that when a question like that is raised, I can immediately say 100%. And as we look at this morning, there's really only one place we can turn to, and that's God's word. That God's word will help us define. God's word will help us answer the question, and God's word heeds to us that we need to be 100% dependable on Him. And as we look through the scriptures, there's little doubt in our mind that this is what God requires. But a lot of times we have things in our life that maybe we just aren't to the scale or to the level we should be. I often use this example at work with maybe a brand new employee, a brand new apprentice, or whatever the case may be. And I instruct my supervisors that here's where we want this employee. Now here's where they're at. And that's okay. Because, you know, I tell people that all of us, including everybody in this audience, was at 0% knowledge. And we were at 0% dependence on God. All of us were. There's no exception. Don't come to me and say, oh no, I came out of the womb, I knew everything, I was... No, you didn't. We were all at zero. And I have employees that are at zero, but they got to get up to here. They're here. And us as Christians, in our walk of life, I don't know if we ever arrive, but we're trying to. We're always trying to get up to that point. So what does the scriptures say about dependence on God? There's so many verses, and I just tried to pick out a few this morning just to look at. And then as we move along in the lesson, we want to make some application, especially from what we are in our lives today dependent upon. So to start out, we'll look at chapter 10 and verse 23. All these verses you've probably read a lot, but look at it from the standpoint of dependence upon God. O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. it is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Now we could begin and end the lesson right there. Say to yourself, let's just make it personal, this past week, whatever you were involved in, whether you were at work, whatever you were doing, your thoughts, your spare time, maybe sitting in front of a TV, a computer, whatever your situation is, were you directing your own steps or were you letting God direct your steps? Because if you direct your own steps, it's 100% failure every time. Because we're going to make decisions that are contrary to God's word. We're going to make decisions that cause us to sin. We're going to make decisions that are against what he wants us to be and do. So if we can have the attitude of Jeremiah, he says, I know that the way of man is not in himself. He knows it. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Psalm 17, verse 5. Hold up my goings in thy path, that my footsteps slip not. Now each and every one of us can look back on our life and say, you know, when I made mistakes, when I did things contrary to God's word, I was trying to direct my own steps. I was trying to go down the road that I wanted to go down. We want God's word showing us the way so that we don't slip. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Proverbs 14, 12, another verse we're all familiar with. There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In Proverbs 20:24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? If we're 100% dependent on God, then we're 100% dependent on what he says in his word. And that we're not thinking, well, I kind of examine any decisions or what I'm doing in life, and I kind of sort it out. And yeah, if it seems to fall in the way God's word wants me to go, that's a bonus. It's what I wanted and what he wanted. No, that's not how you figure this out. And we'll look at some examples later of some people that thought, hey, this is the right way to go. This is what I should do. And it was utter failure. So don't fight the system, if you will. It's just easier to say, whatever God wants, I'll do. And I want to be 100% dependent on him all the time. Because as we're going to look later, what's the alternative? Our own thoughts? The wisdom of the world? Do you really want to use that to direct your steps? I don't. I'll say, I don't know. Help me, guide me, instruct me, so that I can be the type of person that is dependent on the one that created us, the one that knows us, the one that can help us. And obviously we see when we get off that path, it can be very destructive. Let's look at a few more verses. Psalms 119, uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. You know, one of the problems, and we'll move on to these other verses in a second, is that one of the reasons we may not be 100% dependent upon God is because we don't have the faith and the belief that what he's telling us is what we should do and believe. And there may even be things that we're not comfortable with. There may even be things that we don't want to do. But yes, there may be things we're thinking, and we may get into that later. There just may be, for instance, some uncomfortable things. I think Brian mentioned sometimes maybe we have to take a stand for the truth. And nobody wants a dogfight, but maybe if we see something wrong with our own family, our own friends, wife, husband, whatever the case may be, that's not always a pleasant situation, but we know that the Word of God is saying, you got to do this. And if you're going to be dependent on God and his ways, this is what we have to do. And again, we'll look at some examples. There was examples in the scriptures where people, these were difficult things that they needed to do. But to depend on God and His ways, they did them. In Proverbs 16, verse 1, the preparation of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord, even our speech. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Now this scripture resonates to me. It's one of my favorite scriptures in this Bible because it's clear and concise. And the reason it resonates with me is that when I was over in Malawi with Alan, he used this verse every sermon he preached. And it is great, but I just, for some reason, remember that. But it's such a powerful scripture. And let's look at it again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, it doesn't say trust in the Lord with some of thy heart, with all, and lean not unto thy own understanding. There's no wiggle room. There's no, well, you make the best decision you can and God will support it. In some of his ways? Mm-mm. In all thy ways. You might say, how much dedication and dependence on God do I have to have? All of it. 100%. None of our ways really matter or think so's to God if we want to be pleasing to him. But what's beautiful is he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. And that's one of the first things we need to do. Fear and respect him and depart from evil. Remember, the difficulties in life aren't going to be passing, but we can get through the difficulties in life if we go about God's way. Now, some might say, well, are you saying that being a Christian is just, oh, it's just this greatest thing ever? Yes. But the Bible also tells us that those that live faithfully will suffer persecution. Look at the many examples we have in the scriptures of people that died for their faith. And somebody might say, well, that they were so dependent upon God that they would, yes, they died for it. They died for it. And we'll see the greatest example in a minute. But each and every one of us have to make an assessment every day. And you know, when I ask the question, are you 100% dependent on God? There's only two people that know. You and God. And God knows your heart. And God knows, are you really dependent? Or are you just putting on a show? As we call them, hypocrites. They're play actors. We may look all good and fine here, but what happens when we leave here during the week? Do we just do what we want? Hopefully nobody sees it. God sees it. God's sitting there with you in the car. God's sitting there with you at work. God's wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, each and every day of your life. And that's very sobering. There's a film, there's a video, there's a recording machine. There's nothing's hidden from him. Now, God can help us with that. If we have difficulties, he's aware of our needs. And that's when we depend on him. That's when we have difficulties. We can go to him in prayer. Oh, God, Rob, the only time I pray to God or I even get God involved is when there's difficulties. Okay, that's probably a good answer for all of us. Even in times of need, our dependence on God grows even stronger. But what about when things are going right? We tend to not pray as much. We tend to not be as thankful as much. We tend to not be as dependable on him. Oh, if there's a problem, I need them. We'll look at an example of those people in a few minutes. In Psalms 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's so important. So important. Let me read the rest of these and I make a couple points. In Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will lighten my darkness. Now the world hates light. The world loves darkness. And if we're dependent upon God solely and 100%, we're going to let him guide us. And this is a perfect illustration. Now just to make a kind of a personal illustration, in my basement, and I'm an electrician, I could probably fix this, but my whole basement was wired and drywalled, and it was over as far as that goes. And so when I come down my stairs, if I want to go in the back of my office, I have to turn on the light. Now, there's been a few times somebody's down there sleeping, a guest, or so I decide I'm not going to turn on the light because I don't want to wake them up. So I'm going to try to go to my office, and I can't turn on the light because to see the obstructions. So I'm going to go to my office in the pitch black. And you know, every step that I'm taking, I'm hoping I don't step on a toy. I don't stub my toe on something. Now you might think, well, that's kind of a silly illustration. Let me tell you something. I want that light on. And I want that light on in my life to see where I'm going. But how many times do we decide, I'm going to drive down this dark road in the mountains and I'm not going to have my headlights on? Now, there's probably nobody here that would say, yeah, that's a lot of fun. Let's just shut off the headlights and let's try to drive on this windy road. I've been on some roads. If your headlights weren't on, it was pitch black. You weren't seeing nothing. How about spiritually? Do we try to drive down the road of life in complete blackness? Because that's what the world does. They despise the word. They despise the guidance. You might tell them, well, you're not to do that. I don't want to hear that. Because the light exposes our weaknesses. The light exposes our sins. The light exposes that which is wrong. Let's not fight it. We need the light to be 100% dependent on God. Now, the light is God's word. That's what guides us. And I've said this a million times, and I say it to myself. But if you crack this book right here, now each one of us needs to be honest and forthright. And I've been a Christian since June 1st of 1980. I've had plenty of times to read this Bible all the way through, front and back. This is the test. This is the information that the test will be on. But how many of us crack this book more than maybe here a couple times? Really, seriously, just say to yourself, if I'm 100% dependent on God, I got to get in here. And you might have to get in here over and over. What does Peter say? To bring into remembrance. Now, if you're not studying this, who wins? The devil. He's won because there's going to be a difficulty that comes up in your life and you're not going to know what to do because you didn't study God's word. You're not grounded in the solid foundation of God's word, and you need that light, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Or you may find yourself further into something that you could have avoided. I'm not saying all problems, but I come back to my own children, grandchildren, anybody I can say, is this faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you take this out, you're taking faith out of your life. Now, somebody might say, oh, I've read it front and back, and I know it all. Okay. I don't read in here that it says once you read it through, you know it all and you don't have to do it. Brian brought up about the temptations of Jesus. What did he use? He used the scriptures. This is Jesus. He used the scriptures. And I tell you what, there's been times in my life I've told the devil almost out loud, get thee hence. Get away from me. I use the word. I don't want you involved in me. I don't want you to... I'm dependent on God. And that's how we get through these things. So what's some examples? Well, it seems like we've been bringing up Adam and Eve a lot. And that's good. There's so many lessons you can learn from Adam and Eve. Okay? But look at it from dependence on God. Now, you have to appreciate that when Adam and Eve were put in that garden, they had everything they needed. Right from the start. God provided them the garden, food, they were to be caretakers. But there's a point I want to make to start right here. I've already made it before, and that is we have skin in the game, so to speak, because God has his part. You can rest assured if we depend on God, just like maybe we depend on others sometimes, but they fail us. But if we depend on God, he's done his part. He's going to be there for you. It'd be like calling somebody at 2 in the morning and say, can you help me? And I know they're going to help me. Well, maybe they don't. But you call God at 2 a.m., He's going to help you. He's going to be there for you. He was there for Adam and Eve. He provided everything for them. But there are some conditions. And there's going to be conditions when we look at these briefly. They had to do something. And He gave them, do not eat. Eat of all the other, do not eat the fruit of knowledge of good. Don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, was it hard for them to understand? No, they understood it. Matter of fact, they both repeated it in Genesis 1 and 2. Oh, this is what God said. So it was clear instruction. They knew. What about Noah? Now, there's some positive and negative examples here. Noah's a positive example. He depended on God. Now, I often think about that ark, and I think Gene, others have seen this ark encounter in Kentucky. It's massive. It's the ark. They built it according to the specifications. And I'm thinking to myself, when he was told that, Noah, I mean, he just did it. But I'm like, there was no ark around for him to like look at and say, I'm going to build that, even a small scale. At that point, he was totally dependent on God on how to build it. And we don't know. He was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Some say that's how long it took him to build the ark. I don't know. No sense arguing about it. But I'm sure if you look at that official scaled one now to scale, that takes a long time to build. But you know, we know him from what the scriptures say. He was totally dependent on God. And he was a preacher of righteousness, and he was trying to convince others that there's going to be this great flood and we're going to have to get in this ark. And I can imagine the people when it started to rain and when it started to get to a point where there's nowhere to go. And they see that ark over there and they think to themselves, I probably should be in that. Or was all thoughts evil continually? They probably thought, it's no big deal. Things will subside, whatever. No. What about Abraham? Did he have total dependence on God? You remember Abraham and Sarah wanted a child. Sarah even laughed about it, having a child at her age. You know, these kind of things, even with Noah and Abraham, or Adam and Eve rather, and it's going to be with us too, is that when God gives you clear instructions, at some point you're going to realize the seriousness of His clear and concise instructions. It wasn't long Adam and Eve figured it out. It wasn't long after that when Noah knew. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, did he have faith in his, was he 100% dependent on God when he went to sacrifice Isaac? Said he went, he lifted his hand, he was going to do it, and he probably thought, well, it's through this seed, so I don't know what's going to happen, but he didn't, he just did it. Just did it. What about the story of Joseph? How long did he have to show dependence upon God? And he was willing to tell others about it as well, those in the prison, if you will, with him, and all that he had to go through, and how he was dependent upon God. That's what got him through the difficulties he had. How about Moses? Now, Moses was early on, he was reluctant to be God's spokesperson, and Moses wasn't perfect. None of us say he was. Moses had his flaws, and that not being dependent on God and what he said kept him out of the land of Canaan. Oh, what about the Israelites? The children of Israel. We could talk a whole lesson just about them. And one day they're dependent on God. God, get us out of Egypt. We got to get out of here. We're slaves. So God answers their prayer and He gets them out of Egypt, doesn't He? And it ain't long after they cross the Red Sea and they're wandering through the wilderness, they start murmuring. That shows a lack of faith and dependence on God. You brought us out here to die, out in this wilderness. No, God brought them out there to make or break them about dependence on Him. And we've seen what happened. God wanted true followers and dependents upon Him to enter that land of Canaan. And heaven for us is Canaan. Heaven for us is, are we going to be dependent upon God fully? How about David and Goliath? Again, David had his issues, but can you imagine the story? One of my favorite stories in the Scriptures. Here's somebody amongst a lot of people. One little boy, young man at that point, decides, I'll take on Goliath. What, do you have a death wish, David? You know what he said? I have God on my side. Oh, it was a mismatch. Sure was a mismatch. There's Goliath, I don't know, 7 foot whatever, full of armor, a sword. Yeah, it was a mismatch because David had hit God on his side and Goliath didn't. There was no match for Goliath. It was a mismatch, big time mismatch. Well, how about Jonah? I read through some of that this morning just to kind of remember. I mean, right out of the bat, Jonah chapter 1, God tells Jonah to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. And Jonah thought, you know, he probably, there's some things that you could read in there, but I don't think that's a good ideal. So I'm going to run from God. I'm going to jump on this ship. And the sea started going. And of course, he's underneath there sleeping. That's always been amazing to me. And of course, eventually they throw him overboard. Now, at that point in time, he didn't have any dependence on God. God gave him clear instructions. Where was his dependence on God? It wasn't there. It was greatly lacking. And I'm trying to think to myself what it would be like to be inside of a great fish for 3 days. And he was in there praying. I'd be in there praying too. He realized what he did. And of course, he got out. And there's more to the story. But look at the examples here we have. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham. There was clear and concise instructions. And whether these people did or didn't, God was going to get their attention. Because if they weren't dependent upon Him, their faith was being tested. Every one of them, their faith was being tested. Well, what about Job? Brian brought up Job. He was dependent on God. There's no way he got through what he got through without 100% dependence on God. Think about it. And hopefully none of us ever experiencing anything close to that. What about Daniel? The faith that he had. What about all the others? I like to read this verse because there's so many more that the Bible doesn't talk about and doesn't give us great detail. Hebrews chapter 11, 32 through 40. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and the prophets, who through what? Faith, 100% dependence upon God, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world has not, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Some might say, that was terrible. They should have just denounced God, forget this, dependent on Him. No, these people had faith, and they're a great example for all of us. So as we leave the Old Testament, the old covenant, if you will, and we move to the New Testament. Now, there's many we could talk about, Peter, we could talk about Paul, we could talk about the apostles, we could talk about a whole slew of people that showed dependence on God or showed they didn't have a dependence on God, but we're going to start and end in the New Testament with really the only example we have that's worthy even of bringing up in this case, and that is of Jesus. Think about the 33 years he was here and the laser focus he had. John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Jesus in the flesh came and had 100% total dependence upon God. "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." What an example for us. That is the mission. That is our mindset. That we are here to do the will of God. We are here to be 100% dependent on God. Now think about this from a secular standpoint. And I thought, you know, I want to talk about things we depend on. So I thought, let's talk about insurances. Now, I didn't even list all of them. I ran out of screen. I just thought, I'll stop. Think about how many of these you have. Okay? Health insurance, dental insurance, car insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance. Got all those. Sometimes we get travel insurance, disability insurance, business insurance, workman's comp insurance, even pet insurance, renter's insurance, critical illness insurance, liability insurance, malpractice insurance. Now, we depend on these. We do. I mean, health insurance, car, I mean, home, yeah. I'm dependent on these. I get these for what? Assurance. What's insurance? It's dependent. It's in case something happens, or you need to use it, or however you want to define insurance. How many of us have insurance with God? How many of us depend on all these, but we don't depend on this? How many? Say to yourself, yeah, oh God, I got to have those, man. I make sure that they're paid on time, and I make sure that they're up to date when I need them, and I go to sleep at night thinking that I have these things. But how many of us go to sleep at night making sure we have this insurance, the dependence on God? That's he wants us. He demands that. He knows our heart. And he knows, is it 50%, 80% when I only need it in case of emergency? Nope. We'll have all these, but do we have that? Be honest with ourselves. What are some things as we make application? Now, I spoke for a little bit here. Let me hit home here. Because we are in an affluent people in a country with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. And I guess one of the greatest things that I've ever experienced was going to Malawi, Africa, and seeing these people and how they live. And you know what? Those people are happy. You know why? Because this is all that matters to them. And you can talk to them. You might need a translator. How about our bank account? You go to bed at night saying, boy, I have dependence on that bank account. I'm glad I got money in the bank. Now, what if we just took all your money? Would it devastate you? Because, see, your dependence on God, that's really what matters. Solomon said he did it all. He's seen it all. He tried it all. Brian and I were talking about this yesterday. All vain. Because, you know, when we go to the grave, they're not dumping the money in there with us, and we're going to buy our way into heaven. All your money is going to stay right here for somebody else. How about just our personal possessions, our nice new cars, our house, our you name ABC? How much of that are we dependent on? How much of that makes us feel, oh, Now, there's nothing wrong with having money in the bank, so don't come telling me later that Rob says that you can't have that and you can't have possessions. No, not saying that. How about our job? Oh, I have this prestigious job. I have this great position in this great company. Is that what we lean on? Is that what really matters to us? Now, we're thankful for the jobs we have, but we're not substitute that for the dependence on God. How about our family? Oh, I've got such a good family. Good families are good. Oh, the church. Now, let me qualify. We have to be a member of the body, the universal church, and a local church. But the local church is made up of people. Unstable people sometimes. We can't say, I was a member at Holly Street, let me enter into heaven. That ain't dependent on God, that's depending on the local church. Now don't get me wrong, we need to be faithful, we need to be here as often as we can, a faithful congregation, we see in Revelation, we're going to give an account for the church we are a member of, I get all that. But is that what we're dependent on? Is that what we're hanging our hat on? Yeah, I'm not real good with all this, but I'm a member over here. And Church of Christ sometimes think like that. Sometimes we think we're once saved, always saved. We act like it. No, we're not. No. How about just the community? Secular organizations. Sometimes people spend a lot of time. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with secular organizations. Volunteering, whatever the case may be. But I say to myself, what's that? It's a good thing, but am I dependent on that? Is that what gets me out of bed every day? Don't depend on that. How about our country and our government? Now, government has its place. Romans, we see all that. Absolutely, government has its place, and God is over the government. Go read the scriptures. He puts governments in, takes kings out. It don't take place of that. I don't depend on the government. I kind of depend on them in the sense they keep the roads paved and do whatever they're supposed to do. But I don't go to bed at night thinking, boy, I'm so glad that this government is so... Especially recently, it's like some of the things. But anyway, how about our own reasoning? Just our own reasoning. Whenever we make a decision, and I try not to be personal with Nate and Rachel, but in studying that with them before you get married, Alan's been having class with them, you say, all right, you're a new couple. When you got to make a decision about something, most of these things, at least in principle, can be looked back to this book right here. Like, I'm going to go buy this or spend this or do this. You say to yourself, what's this teach? Does it teach covetousness? Does it teach I have to have everything? No, it doesn't. We got to depend on God. And we may never be like Job, but if the day ever came, would we just say, I give up. I've lost everything. God knows. Let's look at this verse as we wind down. This is kind of a concluding verse here. Find rest, O my soul. Now, that's important. The peace that passes all understanding. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. That's it. There's no extensions. There's no accepts. There's no other things. My hope comes from Him. Can we say that? Can we honestly say that? He alone is my rock and my salvation. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness. We sing a song. He is my fortress. We need a fortress? Yeah. Sometimes we do, all the time. I will not be shaken. There's confidence there. It's not arrogance, confidence. God wants us to have that. If our faith and our hope and our trust is dependent on God, what else is there? There ain't nobody can argue with that one. Nobody. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him some of the times. No, it says trust in Him at all times. O people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. And sometimes when you're young, you may not think in these terms, but probably the older you get, the more experience you get, you figure out real quickly what really matters in life. And when you wake up in the morning, you may not be thinking right, but we should be thinking this. We should be praying, thank you that I awoke this morning and you give me another day of life on this planet. And what can I do? Good works. How can I be pleasing to you? Listen, there was years I didn't think like that when I got up. Just didn't. You just have to grow. Now, I said earlier at the beginning that there's two parts of this. There's God's part and there's man's part. Now, He's done His part. He had all this plan and the good works and the foundation of the earth. It's over for Him. We don't have to wonder. I wonder if He's going to help me. He said He was going to help you. Where's your faith? Hebrews 13:5, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If this happens, this is on us. He's the rock. He's the solid foundation. He's our refuge. He's there for us to be dependent on Him. He's the one you can pray to 24/7. He's the one that can get you through difficulties. He's the one that can make you strong. He's the one that can make you wise. He's the one that can give you unending knowledge. But how many times do we really believe that? Oh, Rob, I got things going on in my life. You have no idea. You're right, unless you tell me. Everybody has a story. And that's good. We can help each other. But this is a blessing from God that I'm trying to emphasize to you this morning from God's Word. And that is, we need to be dependent on Him and Him alone. Doesn't mean we can't help each other, but our faith is built on a foundation of our dependence upon God. So whether it be salvation, forgiveness of our sins, He is everything. Everything to me. He is everything to you. And we don't want to live this life in regret. We don't want to look back and think, boy, I wish I would have, could have. Your life will change dramatically when you think about, I am dependent on God in all things. Some of you might say, I don't think so, Rob. Try it. If you're only 50%, that's okay. Work on to get it 100%. Find out those little roadblocks. Remember all that stuff, examples we lifted? The things of this life, our material possessions, our job, our money, the things we have, whatever's hindering us. Because God knows, and we can pray to Him, God, I want to be 100% dependable on You. And show me what that is. Let me open Your Word. Let me study it. Let me understand it. Look at all the examples, Romans 15:4, and the Scriptures. Well, what about you this morning? Now, we always offer the invitation. We don't know the audience. Maybe you need the prayers. Maybe this lesson hit home. Maybe I'm not 100% dependable. We can pray for you. We can encourage you. Whatever the situation is, the number one thing in our life is our dependence on Him. Dependence because we are sinners and we need Jesus Christ, and we have to show God that we are 100% dependent on Him. And it's going to be tested. It's going to be tested. There's going to be things that get in our way, and we're saying to ourselves, boy, maybe I'm not 100%. Whatever the case may be this morning, we extend the invitation now to all as we stand and sing.